So let's look at Samson. Like I said, we're still in a series. We're still in a season where we're talking about the war against carnality. So I want to take, maybe on a Thursday, I can flip around a little bit, you know. So I want to take a character study and demonstrate carnality to you. I'll teach on Sunday, but let me preach today. I want to just expose and exhort for a bit tonight and exegete and, you know, let's just dive around and see where we come to. Amen. Somebody say Samson. Say Samson. Say Samson, Samson, Samson. Oh, Jesus. Barodosh kabaya. So, the story of Samson starts in Genesis 13. Pastor Paul, thank you very much. In Genesis chapter 13. So, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Amen. If it's your first time at Ecclesia Kingdom Center today, we're very blessed and privileged to have you. Sorry, we're a very strange bunch of people. We just do what we do, how we do, when we do. But please understand that we care about you. We love you. We're happy to see you. Amen. All right, Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. The fasting really did me well. I lost the dress size. I can fit into my jacket again. Glory to God. I can actually button this one. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say free gym. Marcos Kapaya. Amen. Judges chapter 13. Let's look at Samson a little bit tonight. And the children of Israel did evil again. Notice it says again. Which means that they had this annoying habit of always doing evil. The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them unto the hand of the Philistines. How many years? 40 years. Remember we spoke on Sunday about the fact that 40 is a season or a symbol of a season or a cycle or a completed portion of time. Somebody say completed portion of time. Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days. Moses, 40 years. Moses outside the cloud of glory, 40 days. Israel goes to the wilderness 40 years. Wherever you see 40 in the Bible, it's usually a sign of a season of the dealings with God or of God with a people. Some say dealings. It means that God is dealing. Say dealing. God has set aside a space of time. And I won't be as angry as Sunday. Amen. It's okay. You're safe for today. I can't guarantee what would happen next week. But let's just smile, smile. You know, it's all good. Just say smile. Say smile. Say smile. You're in God's house. Relax. Smile. Okay. So, it's a space of time in which God deals with a people or a person. It's a space of time in which the character of a person is processed, in which they are prepared for something or they disqualify themselves from something. It's a cycle of completion and beginning. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and God delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Say 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. Now, I really don't have the time to do the word study of the names tonight because that's a different message entirely. But every time you see genealogies in the Bible expounded, study what the names mean. And look at what the names mean from one generation to the other. And you will see a prophetic language. For instance, there is a prophetic code about salvation in the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5. If you look at the names of each of the men in the genealogy from Adam to Enoch down to Methuselah, blah, 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 it tells the story of salvation. Amen? And many times when you look at the story of the genealogy of Samuel, for instance, it tells a story. But now I'm not going to go into the genealogies tonight. Slow down, mister. Slow down, slow down. But go do that yourself. Now his name was Manoah and his wife's name is not important according to the Bible. And I've said this before, the Bible is history from God's perspective. Somebody say history from God's perspective. The Bible is God giving his opinion on what is relevant and not. It's not how long you live, how many things you do. It's not how much you achieve. It's what God thinks is relevant. And one of my prayers in this season is, Lord, as I, in quote, ascend, in quote, I use the word ascend very, very, what's the word now? Sarcastically. But because there's this view that you ascend the ladder of ministry. No, you don't ascend the ladder of ministry. You descend the ladder of ministry. Amen? The higher you go in God, the lower you go in the ladder so you can push everybody up above you. But in code, as I ascend the ladder of ministry, I keep telling God, help me to meet the requirements for eternal significance. I don't want to do anything that God doesn't record. I don't want to do anything. Someone say anything that God does not record. Because we are speaking, we are preaching, we are talking, we are healing, we are laying hands, we are delivering, we are building, we are establishing as ministers on a daily basis. But not everything we do makes it into the record books of God's history. The Bible says some people will get to heaven and pass through the fiery test and their works will be completely destroyed. They'll make it in but by fire. I want all my works in with me, thank you very much. And therefore I will not do anything I've not been called to do. But her name is not there, but the Bible calls his father's name Manoah. And it tells us that his wife was barren. Now, wherever you see a woman in the Bible, like I've said, one of the prophetic types that must come to your mind is the church. Someone say the church. Now, not always, but usually in scripture, there is all, now, any one scripture, any one passage, any one story in the Bible can be prophetically deduced in many ways. Amen. I call it the spectrum or the revelation spectrum of scripture. You can take one verse in the Bible and God can speak many different things from just one verse. So you can pull out many realities from one shadow or one type. But one of the prophetic realities you can almost always pull out from a woman in scripture is the type of the church. Someone say the church. The bride of Christ, the she. Christ's spouse. The woman, amen, someone say the woman. The woman for instance, an example is the woman in Revelation. The one who bears forth a child and is, let's not go into all that stuff. Some of you don't even know the story because you haven't read your Bible. So let's go and read it, amen. Someone say, read your Bible. Read your Bible. But now a woman, and God's people said, amen. Now a woman who is a symbol for my type tonight of the church is barren. She has gone through a... Now, notice, you don't call a woman barren when she's been married 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Amen. Because she could just be doing family planning. Glory to God. She wants to finish something, start something, move something, shift something. Amen. She doesn't want to affect the figure. She's the model, you know, she's still... Whatever it is. But by the time you call a woman barren, it means it has been a significant amount of time in which she has been trying to have a child and has not been able to have one. Talk to me, somebody. Hello. Now, this woman is barren. Her name is withheld, but she's barren. She doesn't have any children, can't have any children. And I'm guessing she's been married at least 10 years. I might be wrong, but let's just assume at least 10 years. By which time they conclude that she is barren. And notice the Bible makes a distinction. Not only is she barren, says she bear not. Now, it would seem those are one and the same thing, but if you look deeply, there's a slight delineation. Amen. She is barren, meaning her womb, spiritually or biologically, is dry and unable to produce or to carry seed, and she bears not. Amen. So, this is not a woman who is... not just able to give birth to a child. This is a woman who is not able to conceive or carry a child. Because you can be barren in quote. Amen. Or should I say you might not have children. But it's not because you cannot have children. You could have had a few miscarriages. You could have had a few stillbirths. But this is a woman whose womb has shut down. Someone say shut down. She is not carrying anything, cannot carry anything. And the Bible says the angel, the Malachi. The word Malachi means messenger. Amen? Many times in scripture, the word angel is used of beings other than the ones that fly in heaven. It's the same word for the prophet Malachi. It just means angel. In the New Testament, it's angelos. It means messenger. Where it says the angel of the Lord, or the writer letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. That what it meant was the pastor or the man in charge on the earth realm of the church in Ephesus. Now, the Bible says an angel, a messenger, a prophet, a mouthpiece of the Lord, and a Nabi, whatever it is, but someone, now I know we're talking about a real angel here in context, but for the purpose of my type or my shadow tonight, just see it as a messenger. Somebody say messenger. So a messenger shows up and says, hello. Someone say hello. The church is walking through its barren season. And many times, the interesting thing about the church of Christ is we don't even realize we're barren. But that's a different message entirely. Every Sunday morning, like it was in the day of Jesus when he was buried, women, church, women, church, women, church, take spices, anointing, worship, prayer, messages, blah, 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 grace, and anoint a corpse, a dead body. Someone say corpse. It's dead. It's completely dead. Like the elders of Israel, David is about to die, and rather than allow him to die, God is about to, let me take some time and deal with this. And if you're a preacher, a pastor, a spiritual leader, or an upcoming one, just listen to me very carefully, wherever you are today or anywhere around the world, in the building around the world. Now, do not be like the elders of Israel. When David's about to die, let him die. The Bible says at 70, David was old and his body was not able to produce heat. Moses lived till 120. And the Bible says he was strong. And his eyesight was not affected and his life force was not abated. David was not old in age because Caleb at 80 or 120 was strong and powerful. Now, Moses was not old in age. David. What God was trying to say was, the Bible says he was full of days at 70. Hello? Full of days at 70? No, God was saying, I am finished with this move. Hello? I am done. He had ruled for 40 years. Moses ruled 40 years in court. Ruled. David ruled 40 years. Solomon ruled 40 years. Read scripture. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. God was transitioning. And the elders refused to allow him transition. They took a woman as usual. Amen. Always a woman, isn't it? Thank God for Jesus in which all women are free. Because the Old Testament was very, very sexist in their culture. They took a woman called Abishag and they threw her in a bed with David to warm him up, to give him some natural heat. Someone say natural. Amen. His heating bills were too high, so they thought we'd just reduce the heating bill. You can smile, it's okay. The Bible says Abishag loved David. The church is always in love with things that want to die. Her soul cleaved unto David. But David was so old, and this was a sign he was about to die. The Bible says, put it this way. You get the point, right? Now, this is my paraphrase. This is me reading between the lines. The elders came and said, did he touch you? She said, no. He'll do it next night. After 1 week, has he touched you? No. The guy's really dying. If King David, the defender of the female race, had no strength. But as a prophet, genius, said to let it out. Amen. If David, now there's a prophetic type here. When a move of God is about to die, it starts to shoot blanks. You know what I mean by shoot blanks? When a man has a low sperm count, in the hood, we would say you are shooting blanks. Amen. You're not important. You can get it together, but your stuff is not able to produce. You get the point. Aha. Come on. Now, can we? Hello. Now, sometimes when a family can have a child, it's not the woman's fault. It's the man. Amen. It's the man. He is shooting blanks. You're producing something, but the something you're producing has no capacity to produce another generation. It cannot impregnate and produce a result. And when a move of God is about to die, it becomes a blank shooter. You can hoop, you can dance. I mean, David is the move of worship. David is the move of God that come on, hello, let's go there. EKC especially. David is the move of God that introduced Levitical worship and crying and waving and the Psalms and the prophetic. And I mean, David is the hip thing when he comes along the scenes. But he had, Bible says he had sons in Jerusalem before he was kicked. So in Adullam, he had sons in Hebron. He had sons in Jerusalem. Every stage of his life, he had sons. He was producing. But he gets to a place where he is no longer able to produce. But the elders won't let him die. Hello? They won't let him die. So they put the church, Abishag, in bed with him. And Abishag loves David, but David has lost the capacity. Amen. The prosperity gospel has lost the capacity to... Now, there was a time when that was the word of the Lord. Amen. But it is past. Let's go on to perfection. Amen. The faith gospel. See, yeah, I want to preach about Samson, but can I go there tonight? See, now see, one of the... when we think about carnality, we always think carnality means sin, fornication, pornication. That's my own word. Don't check for it in the dictionary. You know, masturbation, idolatry, backbiting, gossip. One of the signs of carnality as a Christian is that you are not in tune with what heaven is saying. Hello? Worship leader, if you are singing the song that heaven was singing yesterday, you're carnal. Peter, if you want to build a tabernacle at the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus has moved downwards to heal the epileptic, you're carnal. Hello? The Bible talks about a group of people called the sons of Issachar. It said they understood. Oh, come on. Give me a high five. Somebody's been reading the Bible. It says they understood seasons. Someone say seasons. And times. There are seasons and there are times. It's not enough to understand seasons. You've got to understand times. Within the season, what's the time? And then it's not enough to know seasons and times. It's not enough to know this is the time. But it says they also understood what Israel ought to do. And their brethren were subject to them. We must understand when the sound of heaven changes. And we must move with it. We must know what thus saith. See, in this season, it says all will prophesy. The Bible says, I'll pour my spirit upon you, upon all flesh. All flesh. And they'll prophesy, sons and daughters. Now, we can't afford to have prophets any longer. We all have to be prophetic. In this, every Christian in this city must be a prophet. You must know what thus saith the Lord. For your personal life, your environment, and your jurisdiction. Anyway, Abishag stays in bed with him. David can't do anything. And they realize, you know what? They finally let him die. Eventually. Amen. They finally let him die. Don't put the church in bed. Leaders, don't pussy. I was talking to one of my sons recently, and he was talking about something God has called him to do in the city. And he said something that really hit home in my spirit. He says he's promised the Lord that he will not birth anybody, meaning no new Christians in his ministry will be born into the old system. Because once you put Abishag in bed with David, she's almost useless for the rest of her life. Because nobody else can marry her. Once you put a virgin in bed with a king, she becomes old news. Once that king goes, she's gone. And we have aborted many destinies in this season because we keep bringing people into what God is killing. Because we don't have the prophetic antenna and equipment to pick up, discern. And we don't want to make the sacrifices necessary to shift with the flow. But we will. Amen. We will. Where was I? Samson. So behold, now you are barren and you bear not. God knows you're barren. It says, but you shall conceive and bear a son. That's a prophetic word right there. You are barren, but you will conceive. You could not bear. Or you can't. God says, I know you. Not you were. You are barren. God says you are barren. But you who are not where are barren, you will conceive. We serve a God who calls the things that be not as though they are. And it'll shock you when you look through scripture. Every time a woman was recorded, apart from Michal, David's first wife, because she despised the move of the Lord. Every other barren woman in scripture is recorded as having given birth eventually to a significant son. Samson's mother, John the Baptist's mother, Samuel's mother, Rebecca, Rachel, Sarah. Hello, somebody. Whenever there is a season of barrenness, God is about to birth a deliverer. There is something about to be brought onto the scene that will change the course of history in that generation. The Bible puts it this way, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Don't sweat it. I know this looks like this. See, the body of Christ will be fine. Amen. Prophets, relax. It's not all doom and gloom. Amen. The true bride will be fine. The one that's being destroyed right now is, but there's the bride within the bride. There's the church within the church. It's called the remnant. The bride will be fine. But what God is doing now is shaking everything that can be shaken. That which cannot be shaken might remain. So you obey, O son. Now therefore, beware. I pray you. God is begging. The messenger tells the church. Don't drink wine or strong drink. Notice the Bible. I don't want to get started on this one. But notice the Bible makes a demarcation between wine and strong drink. Notice. You notice. Oh, but Jesus drank wine. There's a demarcation between wine and strong drink. Amen. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to go into all that, but in the Bible times, wine meant anything that was produced by a grape. Whether or not it was fermented or not. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. 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 Say amen. Amen. Say hey, amen. Okay. But anyway, moving on swiftly. It says, don't give him wine or strong drink. Don't give him anything that will intoxicate. Because this is a man who the Bible says many times across his life, the Spirit of God came upon him and he did something. And God wants to take the glory. God wants, the Bible says in the New Testament, be not filled with wine in which there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, wine speaks about ruach, spirit. It means an influence. Now, it talks about not just joy as in happiness, but the inciting emotion in a man's heart. Whatever stirs up the emotions of a human being, or person, or move, wine. Now, God is saying, please, no wine. Nothing from the earth. I don't want anything in his spiritual DNA. Someone say spiritual DNA. I don't want anything terrestrial in his spiritual DNA. Are you with me? No strong drink. Nothing to make him go tipsy. Nothing to make him act any... See, whenever he does something crazy, we want to know it's God. Did you get that? Especially when you're called to be a prophet. When you shout, we want to know God is shouting. Get the wine of anger out your spirit. Amen. Amen. When you frown at someone, let them know God is not happy with them. That's a passion of my heart. To get to a place someday where you can just look at me and see God. If I don't greet you, go and cry. It's not because you didn't buy me a birthday present. It's because God doesn't want to greet you. But there's too much pollution in the prophetic stream. Let's move on. Not a strong drink, nor eat. Now notice, wine, food. What does food signify? Doctrine. Like Daniel, meat and wine. Holy Communion, bread and wine. Meat, food signifies doctrine. Wine signifies the spirit or motivation. Now, don't have any spiritual DNA that is celestial. And don't intake any, I wish I could work this now. Unclean doctrine. Someone say unclean doctrine. The Bible talks about the doctrine of devils. Now, the most powerful tool of Satan is not a hex or a curse or witchcraft. It's a doctrine. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual rulers, and wickednesses in where? High places. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge. Satan's primary agenda is to affect the doctrine. And I don't, not every doctrine has to be from the Bible. Every human being, whether they believe God or not, has a doctrine. A doctrine is anything that influences your behavior. Whatever you believe that causes you to behave the way you behave is your doctrine. So atheism is a doctrine in itself. The fact that there's no God means you must act a certain way. Hello? That's why most atheists will never want to see that as God. Even when the facts of science are overwhelmingly, you don't believe me, go and study scientists. Science is overwhelmingly conclusive that there's a God. But they can't believe, because if you believe there's a God, then you can't behave a certain way. Don't drink wine. Don't eat any unclean thing. You'll conceive and bear a son. Let no razor come upon his head. Let no razor. Now, A razor is made, in those days, was made of iron. Iron in scripture is a symbol of strength or force. War. For instance, when the temple was being built, Solomon was told, don't use any implements of iron on site, because iron signifies strength, force, or war, or conflict. But iron talks about gates of iron, but iron talks about a force or strength. The vision of Daniel about the statue had toes of iron and clay, part strong, part weak. Now a razor is obviously a sharp thing. Now, don't bring, and of course we all know iron comes from the earth, amen. Amen. Don't bring, now the Bible talks about how the glory of a person is their hair. Yeah. Amen. Hair symbolizes covering or glory. Hello. Someone say covering. And many times your covering is your glory. But I won't go there tonight. And many of us have deglorified ourselves by walking out of covering. But let's not go there. But don't bring any human or don't bring strength from the earth. And also your hair, I wish I could slow down with this prophetic type, but I want to get somewhere. Now, if you look at a human being, the Bible says Christ is the head of the church, right? Now, a head signifies authority, dominion, thinking, the place of preeminence. Your hair is literally the top of your head, right? It's what covers your head. Hello. You get the prophetic reality. Don't bring something from the earth. Don't bring a force or a strength or ability or power from the earth to interfere. Are you with me? With the realms of the spirit of your life. Don't bring something from the ground. Don't bring a don't let any force or any what's the word now? Any power shown you of your glory. Don't bring it in. He didn't just say, don't put the razor, don't cut his hair. He said, don't let the razor touch his head, period. Don't bring it into your heavens. Amen. Into your thinking, into your decision. Hello, somebody. Into your personality, into your spiritual reality. So the child shall be a Nazarite. Now, we can talk about that another day, about the order of the Nazarenes. Nazarites were a group of people who took an oath, a consecrated covenant before God, to live a certain lifestyle. Now, in the New Testament, we're all Nazarites. You know why? Because Jesus is called the Nazarene. And the Bible says we are Christ's. It's one of the prophetic reasons why he had to pass through Nazareth. He had to be a Nazarene. The Bible calls him a Nazarene. Amen. Nazarites, but let's not go there. That's why I know Jesus had hair. That's why I cannot be bold. And God's people said, I'm going to be like my Savior. And I rebuke that spirit sharply. It says, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Now, when I see this, I'm thinking, Lord, you said he shall begin. Were you aware of what was coming? Because he never finished. But let's not go there. So now, Samson is born. I'm going to put the Bible. I'm going to just talk you through the story for the rest of the message. Samson is born as a Nazarite. Now, the angel comes back a second time because the mother goes to the father, who is the priest of the house, and says, an angel told me. He said, an angel told you? And you let him go? So let's call him back. Hello. And they called him back. And let's look at verse 9. Let's go verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, oh my Lord, let the man of God, someone say man of God. I thought he was an angel. There's a lot of side traps I don't want to go into tonight. The Bible called him an angel. Manoah called him a, could your pastor, your leader, your whoever is spiritually ordained, not the ones who put it upon themselves, but could whoever God called not know? A friend of mine says they are the sent ones and the went ones. I'm not talking about the went ones. I'm talking about the sent ones. Amen. Could the went one over your life just be an angel? But let's not go there. Let's not go there. Oh my Lord, let the man of God which you did send come again to us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now, Manoah's father understands that you don't just come up here and tell me about a child with a great destiny. There must be conditions. Hello. Now, his mother, the church, is shouting about the destiny. And that's what mothers are, and even in the natural realm. That's why every child needs two parents to grow properly. Your mother loves you. Your mother's job is to nurture you. She sees all the awesome stuff in you. And if you let her, she will celebrate it to the point of destruction. Your father is only concerned with the process of making you who you're called to be. And if you let him, he'll kill you. So you need daddy and mommy to balance each other. You need mommy to say, give me my child, Jare. Don't kill him for me. That's mommy's job. Say, you know, I don't want to say it in my mother's language. There's a way to say it in my mother's language. How do you say it in Shona? Give me my child. Somebody help me. How do you say it in Shona? Give me my child. Piman.
Dipiman
nawangu. Whatever he just said. How do you say it in tree? Where's Joe? How do you say it in tree? Where's Dorinda? How do you say it in tree? You don't know. Deborah, how do you say it in tree? Okay. In my mother's language, you're about to say it this way. Bomomiwa. Say, give me my child. But once in a while, the Bible says at 13 years old, the father has to demand the child from the mother. Say, give me my son and take him for a bar mitzvah. He's now a man. Don't cuddle him anymore. Don't baby him anymore. No more breast milk. Come on. Hello. It's called being weaned. Hello. No more unconditional love. Now we want to treat you based on your actions. Every mothers always think the children are angels because they always understand what the child really meant. Fathers want to deal with what he did. Amen. So the father says, there's no destiny without conditions. So I don't want to hear you, woman, in court, because I know you just love your little boy who's about to come. I want to go back to God and get first-hand information. What must we do? Someone say, what must we do? Because there is always something that must be done. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. The angel came again unto him to the woman as she sat in the field. Now, Manoah prayed. God answered. But who did God go back to? The woman. I don't know why, but you know, that's how God deals with it. God always deals with the one who's going to produce. Amen? But there must be the one who is praying for the one who's going to produce. Now, this time she's wise enough. She says, you just wait. I'll go get my covering. Hello. Relationship seminar. It was almost illegal in Jewish culture for a woman to talk to a man without her father or her husband being there. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. Amen. Say, you just wait. If you're going to deal with me, wait. I'm going to go and bring the person who's responsible for me. Thank you, Yemi. Somebody thinks I'm preaching well. And when Manoah comes, angel now begins to talk to him again and tell them everything he says the first time. Manoah says, let's give you an offering, blah, 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 blah. The angel says, okay, put it on the rock. And then the angel goes in the smoke and the Bible says, does wondrously. And Manoah says, wow, okay, this. Now he understands it was an angel and everything. So Samson is born and he's born with a covenant, with a threefold covenant. Now, don't eat anything unclean, right? Don't drink wine or strong drink. And no razor on your head. Your doctrine, your spirit, no power in your heavens allowed. Basically nothing, no strength, no fortress, no thinking, no activity. Nothing allowed to touch your heavens that is not from God. Samson grows up. And come with me to chapter 14. Let's see how the trouble begins. Now, of course, you think Manoah's wife didn't tell the... Now, I'm sure she was as a woman. She said, oh, because the Bible says Mary kept Jesus in her heart. The reason why the Bible had to put that there was because that was not normal. Do you know my son is called? My son is special. Ah, my son. What's it, my son? Say, my son. The angel spoke to me and told me that my son is going to be great. My son. And the same way the body of Christ likes to raise people and exalt them. Oh, the man of God. Or in this case, Samson was just a man. He was a move. He was symbolic of a movement. oh, the time is coming when this will happen. And oh, you know, we bless God for our youth. We bless the Lord for our youth. Our youth are coming up. No, they're going down, actually, if you look properly. You know, children come, teenagers come and sing. And some people I respect with all my heart, I've said this before. And I'm thinking, okay, that sounds nice and cute, but mom, dad, please, can you be spiritual and come out of your flesh? Teenagers come and sing, and people say things like, oh, with such great voices, the future is bright. Usher has a great voice. R. Kelly has a great voice. Beyonce has a great voice. How can the future be bright just because they have a great voice? Oh, our children are so talented. We bless the Lord for his hand on their life. It's not the hand of the Lord upon their life. Amen. It's a gift. And unbelievers have it. Witchcraft practitioners have it. Oh, you know, Pastor Paul, listen to me. Pastor Blessing, listen to me. Everybody involved in Revive or Ignite or New, just listen to me very carefully. You don't organize youth. So let's organize that. You agonize for youth. There's only one strategy I recommend for youth ministry: neology. Someone say neology. Remove, and I'm not saying don't dance, but forget the dancing. I'm not saying, don't rap, please. Forget all that stuff. That's not how you build lasting foundations. Forget the organization and agonize. Pray. Preach to them. I was talking to somebody today. The youth is a thing of the soul and the body. Youth is not a function of the spirit at all. The spirit of man is timeless. And the spirit of a 12-year-old is just as capable as contacting God as the spirit of a 50-year-old. Now, you might need to go through their soul, their mind. You might need to be creative in bypassing the barrier called the mind. But if you can get to the spirit of any human being, of whatever age he or she is, you're dealing with the same thing, a spirit. And that spirit is timeless. So stop patronizing us. So I'm sure, Manoah's wife is going, oh, you know, my boy, blah, 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 and just hyping him up, and something keeps getting told how special he is and how wonderful he is and how one day he's going to be this and going to be that, and he's just, I'm annoyed that I fly, Samson, he the man, he can do it, no one can, Come on, talk to me, somebody. He can save the world with a bit of pen and a pan, whatever you want to say. And then we get to chapter 14. Riba Babaska. Chapter 13, verse 24. It says, the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. The child grew. Samson means brightness. Hello. Shiny. Hey. All that glitters ain't gold, but something shiny. Attention seeking and grabbing. Everybody can see this child is a special child. This ain't Moses who was put in an ark. No. This one is born on display. This one is born into the limelight. Say, born into the limelight. This one is Marosh Kabaya. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move on him at times. Say, at times. Ah! I wish I could deal with this. Honey, the fact that the Spirit of God is moving on you don't mean nothing. Doesn't make you any better than Balaam's donkey. It's quiet. Can I say that again? The fact that you prophetic and does. The fact that your prophetic puts you on the same level as a donkey, minimum. To ascend to a higher level, you must show us more. Hello. The fact that you know what color boxes I'm wearing makes you a donkey at least. So please, can you go beyond that before we call you anything more? Hello. Hi. Let me look at these people. Hello. Hi. Hello. Hello. The Spirit begins to move upon Samson in the camp. Samson begins to demonstrate his anointing in his youth group, in his cell group, in his local church, in his prayer meeting, amen, in his women's fellowship, in his men's fellowship. Everybody can see that Samson is special. Amen. At times, it will come and go. When you get saved, however old you are, when you get saved, you go through a season where God comes on you today, then this, it's like, you heal someone today, or God heals someone to you today, and it's 1 year to the next time. Now, God is passing a message. It's called the earnest of your salvation. He's showing you what exists behind the veil. But many times we celebrate the process and forget the destination. Or should I say, we celebrate the destination and forget the process. Because when we see what we see, we say, well, I'm called to be great. But it doesn't mean you've arrived. Hello.
The fact that God is doing great things through you is just a sign of his purpose for your life. Don't get it twisted. Tell him and say, don't get twisted. Don't get twisted. So chapter 14, Samson went down. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Where did he go? Down. See, when the Bible says Abraham went down to Egypt. Timnath is a town in Philistia. Samson grows to a certain age where he's not a child anymore. He doesn't need anybody to talk. Now see, while he was growing up, like Moses, his ark of protection, like Jesus, was his parents. But now he gets to a place where his parents can't tell him anything anymore. Samson's going out one day, and the Bible says he goes down into the same camp of people he's supposed to be saving Israel from. Samson makes his first journey into enemy territory. Let me work this a little bit. Mabo Shata. KKK. Someone say KKK. Say hey, hey, hey. Samson goes where? Samson goes down. Are you going down? Ask your neighbor, are you going down? Are you going down? Did they answer you? Are you going down? Someone say down, down, down. Down, down, down. The word Timnath in Hebrew means portion. Someone say portion. It's a town on the northern boundary of Judah, Kabayasa. Later assigned to Gad or to Dan. It comes from a root word, manar. It means to count, to reckon, to number, to assign, to appoint, to ordain. Samson goes down into Timnath. Now, Timnath literally means appointed, ordained, called, Kibayasa. Someone say called. Called. Say called. 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 Samson moves into the season of his life where he knows he's set apart. Problem is, he's going into a town that's on the boundary. Hello. It's not in Philistia, it's just on the boundary. Someone say boundary. It's on the boundary. Message, a calling from God puts you on the boundary. Hello. Put you on the battle line. Put you at the war front. So I don't be quick to fight for something. It's quiet and I like it. It's very quiet and I like it. There is a process that God must take you through before he sanctions you for frontline battle. Many of us feel the zeal. We feel the push. We feel the. And we jump out the oven 5 minutes too early. When you take a cake out the oven 5 minutes too early, how does it taste? It's nice on the outside, isn't it? Isn't it? When you put chicken out the grill 5 minutes too early, it looks nice on the outside. When you bite into it, there's still blood on the inside. It's not well done. Hey, come on now. There's a baker in the house. Amen, somebody. That's why wise bakers and cookers and cooks and chefs, what do? You take a knife or fork or something and you check the middle, isn't it? Something in the middle. Don't be fooled by the outside. I know you tall and your suits look good and you've got all the prophetes. Same way there's Christianese, there's prophetes. You listen to your pastor's sermons. You stole messages from people on YouTube. You put everything together. Amen. And you have the charisma. You've got the heels if you're a woman. And you know how to walk and strut on the stage. And you know how to say, yeah. And yeah. And sure, you know. But you're not done on the inside. Samson walks into his portion a bit too early. Amen. Early. He hasn't fought some battles, because if he'd started fighting the battles, he should have fought them. Amen. His battles was against the Philistines, but he doesn't fight the Philistines. He goes into his portion and he sees a daughter of the Philistines.
Someone say daughter. Notice again, she's a woman. Yikabasa. And he came up and told, now he came up, he had the sense to come up and told his mother and his father and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Don't look at him and say, don't sleep with the enemy. Be not unequally yoked. It's not just about unbelievers in marriage. That's part of it. That's the context. There's some unequal Christians. Come on now. There's some unequal Christians. But I'm not talking about the person I'm talking about. See, don't get in bed with anything you don't agree with. Whatever container it comes in. Hello. Hey, you don't understand me. No covenant with the enemy, whatever container it comes in. How do I say this? Marriage is a covenant, right? It's a contract that says, I'm yours, you're mine. Don't contract with anything that is something you should be attacking. Hello. Even if it comes in a container you like. Let me go there. There is a spirit of sexual impurity in music. There is another spirit of arrogance, pride, and self. One camouflage, one is called R&B. The other one is called hip-hop. I don't care if they put Christ on it. I don't care if they call it Bibles. If they say 1, 2, 3, 4, disciples, disciples, I don't care. If it carries the same spirit, ditch it. Come on. Come on. Come on now. The only job I could get is in a pub. I'm not drinking. I'm just working there for money. You'll soon be drinking. You know, my family, every year we go for family reunion and don't go. God, the reason why I fell back into alcoholism was because I couldn't say no to my family. You know how stupid that sounds in eternity? I missed my eternal placement because I couldn't say no to a family. Get the family reunion going without you. You know, my family is putting pressure on me to marry, but don't tell them to get lost. You know, this one, tell them bye-bye. You marry him, exactly. If he's so fine, you divorce my dad and marry him. Tell your mom, tell your mother. If he's so fine, why don't you just, you know, tell your father if she's so wonderful, get a second wife, but leave me out of this. But she's fine. And she goes to church. But she smokes. He goes to church, but he's not sanctified in his thinking. Hello. The deal is nicely paid, but it's shady. It requires you bending your principles to get the contract. Stay away from Philistines. Whatever container they come in. Whatever container they come in. Whatever container. If you find a Philistine church, get out. Talk to the leader to make sure it's not a mistake. Say, Pastor, did you really say we should do this? Maybe I misheard you. Pastor says, no, I said it. Say, Pastor, it's been nice knowing you. I told the pastors at the meeting today that as we walk into the season of transition, I told them to pray for me that my motives are right in the season. I give you permission, anybody in this church, I give, forget protocol, anybody, however old or young you are, you wake up in the morning, you have an unease in your spirit about something I'm saying or doing, you call me and you tell me. Amen? It might just be that you're the prophet God wants to save me by. Hello? Don't just take, don't say, well, Pastor, no. Whether Pastor O said it or not, it's not relevant. If you're uncomfortable in your spirit, you pick up the phone. Now, you don't go shooting your mouth and backbiting. No, you be decent enough to have a meeting with Pastor O and say, Pastor, I'm not comfortable about this. What do you have to say about it? And if I force you down a road you're not comfortable with, it's okay. Jesus is Lord. Your soul's more important than my feelings. Hello. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The day I stop following Christ, you have permission to kiss me like upper and say bye-bye. But the day will never come in Jesus' name.
So he goes down to Timnath and sees this woman. Says, get her to me for wife. The parents tell him, no. Why are you coming out of the camp? Why are you coming out of the boundaries of God's covenant? Why do you want to make a contract or a covenant with something that is from something you do not want to have any dealings with? But because it comes looking nice and fine. And Sam says, well, I'm not going to fornicate. I'm just going to marry her. So I'll legalize it. Amen, somebody. Like Abraham said, let's circumcise Ishmael. Amen. You can marry it, but it's still it. You can marry an it, but it doesn't make it any less an it. Amen. A married it and a single it are still an it. Doesn't matter how you class it up. Doesn't matter how you spin it. So Samson's first, he's allured. Now, this is a sign that there's no discipline in his life. This is a sign. Let me get moving. We've got to go. This is a sign that there's no discipline in Samson's life. Samson is an undisciplined man. Samson is a carnal man. He's a sensual man. He makes his decisions based on what he can see, smell, touch, and handle. Samson is enticed by the curves. Someone say the curves. I said, I'm writing a book. Yeah, I said, don't marry a body. Don't marry a figure. And don't even marry a mind. Don't marry a brain. Contrary to what they say, don't marry her for a figure, marry her for a brain. That's the world. Don't even marry her for a brain. She can be an idiot in quotes, naturally. Listen to me, but be a virtuous woman. And I'd rather have a stupid virtuous woman than an intelligent troublemaker. But I got an intelligent virtuous woman. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Come on now. He might be a dum-dum, might not even be able to lace his own shoes. But that can be fixed. You can buy him slip-ons. Don't marry him for his dress sense. Amen. Come on. Because history has proven that can be fixed over time. And God's people said, amen. If you're a man in this place and you look back at the last 5 years of your life and say, what was I wearing? Put up your hands now. They don't want to confess. Amen. Amen. It can be fixed. Don't be carnal. Don't make decisions that affect your destiny based on what you can get today. By the time most people eat 80, you can't tell who was fine when they were young or not. True? Because everyone looks alike. True? Gravity catches up with the best of us eventually. Whatever goes up comes. It's a law of life. Amen. Amen. There's no ugly old person. Every old person looks fine. Because age brings you into a place. Amen. Where we don't look at your face anymore. Come on. But Samson says, get it for me. So Samson goes through the process, tries to get married, and then what Satan does is entice him into a situation where he's in discipline and his character begin to manifest. Now, not only is he going to marry a Philistine, he wants to make money from the Philistines. He wants to prostitute his gift. Oh, Karaboska. He wants to prostitute his gift. Now, on his way to the wedding, it's interesting how when you're on the wrong path, you meet the wrong thing. On the way to a wedding, a lion attacks him. For any other person, they would have run back. But Samson is anointed so he can sort the lion out. And he tears the lion apart with his bare hands. And he says, ain't number thing. The devil attacked me, but I sorted him out. Really? But notice in the process, he comes back when he's coming back. If you read the Bible. And the corpse of the lion, Isha Banana, a dead thing, an unclean thing, has gathered honey, something sweet. Isha Baba. Isn't it interesting how honey is always found in what you should not touch? That's how the Bible says, have you found honey? Eat only enough as is sufficient for you. Be careful about sweet things in dead places. Be careful about sweet preachers in dead churches. Be careful about slick Be careful about enticing things in environments that speak death. And Samson, as a Nazarite, should not touch a dead thing, but he can't resist the honey. The Bible says he goes for the honey and he scoops some and he takes some back with him and gives other people. But he said he did not tell his father and his mother, where the honey came from. Be careful about the things you do. You can't talk to your spiritual and natural leaders about. No matter how you spin it, if you cannot justify it to Pastor Olumide, they don't do it. Say, oh, Pastor Olumide is a bit old-fashioned. He won't understand, but there's nothing wrong with it. No, be careful, be careful, be careful about what you cannot be accountable about. Be careful about decisions you don't want to discuss with leadership because you know you'll be talked out of them. So you do them, then you inform. But be careful, because it's your destiny. Hello, Paul, please help me out, sir. It's your destiny. So Samson breaks rule number one. And now he's in. He's on the slippery slope. Now, see, there's on every pathway to destruction, there is something called the slope. And at different points, the slope's gradient increases. It's first almost vertical or horizontal. Then it goes and goes and goes. At some point, it goes into what you call free fall. There is a point beyond which discernment shuts down, beyond which prophetic warning closes out, beyond which the spirit of error takes a control of your faculties. And at that point, there's a stronghold built around your error, and it'll take the grace of God to save you. So Samson wants to make money from the Philistines and tell them a riddle. Say, what's sweet, what's stronger than this and sweeter than this? And nobody can find out. But what he forgot is he's married into the enemy. Amen. And so the enemy goes to one of their own and says, tell us his secret. He forgot, when all is said and done, a person is their father. Case closed. That's why when I preach a message, I'm not my father. What I mean is I am now my heavenly father's. I have switched my DNA. Because whatever DNA you have, if you marry, or if you, what, not just marriage, if you are unequally yoked with anything that is carnal, you have married in quote into the enemy's territory. And the wife, whether it's a physical wife, a spiritual wife, a job wife, a career wife, a ministry wife, whatever the thing you have contracted with is that came from the other side, you have brought your enemy into your bed. So they go to the enemy, or they go to the girl, and they say, you know, what's his secret? And eventually she puts pressure on him. Character flaw number two. Men, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me, men. No matter how much you love her, no matter how wonderfully, I don't care. There are some things love cannot make you do. Can I say that again? Ladies, listen to me loud and clear. The older you get, the more you will agree with me. You don't want a man who is easily moved by your emotions, because someday another woman's emotions will move him. I love my wife, but she's not a beneficiary of my emotions alone. She's a beneficiary of my commitment with God. 90% of the time, that commitment favors her. 10%, it doesn't. Can I be real? 10% of the time, my commitment to God does not seem to favor her. But it is that same commitment that means that no matter how bad an argument we have, I'll come back home. You know why? Because it's not just about how I feel about her. Amen. I love her with my life. Would give myself for her and without in a heartbeat, but there is someone I love more. And if her desires and his desires conflict, sorry, honey. And I expect it to be the same for her as well. If I say, you know, we need some money around here, so you see that guy there is very, very rich, just wear a short skirt and go, no, I expect you to tell that man sorry. Amen. Sorry. Let's lie about something like a nice and sapphire. Sorry. Amen. If I come to church and I tell you a blatant lie, I say, oh, we're going to use this money for this, when I know, I expect her to stand up and say, hey, pastor, hey, pastor. It's not like, it's not, you know, sometimes I'm telling, I tell some things and, you know, honestly speaking, I don't realize, but she says, you know what, you said 50, it's actually 49. You know, you said 72 people got saved, actually it was 64. You know, hello. But Samson is weak. He's easily swayed. He has no gumption, no foundation. He's a weak man. He's what in Nigeria they would call a woman wrapper. Easily wrapped around the loins of a woman. Character flaw number two. And he divulges the secret to her. She goes and tells them. He loses the bet. Character flaw number three. He gets angry. Now he needs to provide 30 pieces of clothes. See how now Capricorn number three actually is. He's carnally minded. He is financially driven. He's interested in what I can get, what I can wear, how I can look fly. What does one man need 30 garments for? I mean, what does one man in Israel at the time? If you had two garments, you were rich. What does one human being want 30 garments for? 30. Now the joke's on him. He has to provide the 30. So he bareto da mande ba kasi alaba. Something commits murder. Someone say murder. Mabu shabai. He kills 30 men to take their garments to fulfill his pledge. And he storms off. Character flaw number 5. When he's angry, he makes decisions he'll regret. He leaves the wife behind. Hello. He's so angry. Now, if you're going to do that, leave her behind forever. But he wakes up one day, and when he has calmed down, he realizes he has done something wrong. How many of you are like that before? Are like that? You get angry, you say stuff, or you do stuff that you know you will. Why you will know? But you know, I don't care. When you're angry, you just act anyhow. Now, he comes back, and the wife has been given to someone else. And the father tells him, I thought you were angry, right? You told me to get out and I went. Now you're calling me back. I've arrived where I'm going. You broke up with me. You said you didn't want to be with me anymore. I'm married now. Oh, somebody clap. I don't like that girl. I'm blah, 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 blah. And kinny. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, see, women, listen to me. For those of you serial breakuppers, you know, like the way he's looking at her, we're broken up. One day you will come back and he's not interested any longer. Because every man has a line. Hello. Every man has a, no matter how much he loves you, a point comes where he asks himself, are you worth? Because men are rational. Amen. We even to a fault, even when we should not be. And he's thinking, I want to know where I stand. I mean, I can't. Come on, you know, one day I'm no. So you know, it's cool. He comes back and she's gone. Then in anger, he attacks the Philistines. Now look, hey, Jesus is Lord. See why I talk about motives? He does his destiny for the wrong purpose. It takes something that angers him personally to manifest his anointing in the right way for the first time. He does his first conference because he doesn't like his pastor. He was always called to be an evangelist, but because something happened in his church and he didn't like it, he goes and starts his own. Now he's doing the right thing for the wrong motive, and it's just as bad in God's eyes. Now Samson's character is unraveling. Someone say unraveling. It's coming apart at the seams. But the worst has still not happened. The Philistines are angry at him, and he kills 1,000 of them. Someone say 1,000. He kills 1,000 Philistines. 1,000 Philistines. Now he put himself in, now he got so bad that his own people hand him over to the Philistines. Say, you're a liability. But because he's anointed, your own church says, you know what, you need to be disciplined. But you say, who are you anyway? Pastor, I preach better than you. Be careful about being too gifted and too exalted and too empowered, such that you cannot even be disciplined. You cannot even be held accountable by the people God has placed around you. Not just your spiritual fathers, your friends. I have friends who can pick up the phone right now. They're not pastors, they're not bishops, they're not reverends, they're just brothers with a dot, bro with a dot. And they call me and they don't say Pastor Olumide, they don't say Reverend Olumide, they say Olumide. How is your wife? They ask me, are you treating her well? Every blessed day my biological father calls me, the first question he asks me is, how's your wife? And he wants to know, are you treating her well? Have you kicked her out the house? Are you? I'm being honest. Are you having enough? He asks me. He want, and until I give him point blank, you know what that's called? Accountability. So even if there's a devilish thought floating around in my head, God says, you know you're going to get a phone call in 2 days. So relax. But even when the consequence of his mistake come, he's empowered enough to pick up the jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 Philistines. And he boasts. He doesn't say the Lord has given me victory. He says, I, with the jawbone of an ass, slew 1,000 men. Me, it's all about me. Hey, look at me. Bishop, Reverend, Apostolic Doctor, Prophetic Professor. You're either a pastor or a reverend or a doctor. Why do we need all three in front of your name? Pastor, Reverend, Doctor. Hello? Bishop, Doctor, which one are you? It's all about me. See what I did. The Bible says he's thirsty. You know why? His supplier. See, that battle that was not necessary took his supply of the Spirit. Be careful, like David. David's brothers came to him angrily, and David ignored them and conserved his anointing for Goliath. Be careful about wasting your supply of the Spirit, getting yourself out of situations you should never have been before, because there is a finite echo. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning, not every hour, every day. Someone say every day. Every season in which God is active comes with its own section of grace. And if you waste the grace, the supply of the Spirit, if you direct it wrongly, you'll be thirsty. And he doesn't say a word to God, doesn't ask God, tell God thank you. He just says, hey, don't you care that I'm about to die? The Bible says he finds water, drinks it, and does it. There is no record in Samson's life of thanking God. Not one. Difference between him and David. David did a lot worse than Samson did. But there's no record in Samson's life of ever being a worshiper, ever praising God, ever saying thank you. It's all about him. Now, Samson goes now. He doesn't just go to Timnath. He goes to Gaza. The capital. Someone say capital. He's now gone from temptation to a tempt station. Samson goes to Satan's backyard and says, show me what you got. You know who I am. See how anointed I am. I take you, man. And Satan says, no, you're not ready yet. I need to let you win a few more rounds to put your discernment completely to sleep. Samson does his quiet time on the bosom of a prostitute. It's a quiet time. Samson's morning devotion is on the breast of a harlot. And the Philistines say, we got him now. And they camp around him, and he stands up and shakes himself. Do you know who I am? Touch not the anointed of the Lord, and do his prophet no harm. I know I messed up, but I'm still a man of God. Don't talk to me like that. Have you heard people like that before? Say, you were not the one that called me. The one that called me. Somebody was telling me recently about a friend of his who got two girls pregnant in the space of 3 years, and told him, you know, I'm a prophetic person, and even that is prophetic. Say, it's a prophetic sign. Say, I know I made a mistake, but God used my mistake to prophesy about a season of fruit. I'm like, you. And you know how deep calls out of deep? You know, whenever someone's spirit is drawn to mine, I can tell what's inside them. Because not everybody's spirit, I'm not talking about your head spirit, not everybody's spirit can be drawn to mine. He said, Pastor Lumine, I told him, I cast that demon out of you. I said, you're my very person. Say, you're a member of my family. Samson lifts the gate of the city. One man. Because you see, by virtue of his anointing, he has supernatural strength. But now, on the way to the wedding, he touched a dead thing. At the wedding, he drank wine. He's broken two. One down. Someone say one down. There's no reduction in the anointing after breaking the first one. There's no reduction after breaking the second one. Samson thinks it's all gravy, baby. It's all good in the hood like it should. Hello. Samson says, I mean, I fly, you know. Come on now. So he gets out of that jam and many other jams, and then he ends up in Gaza with a lady called Delisha. And the word Delilah means feeble, weak. Hey, people say, it's not the strong one, it's the weak one, the little one, the one that looks safe. And Samson now doesn't even bother about getting married any longer. Uncle Sam, Samso, is shacking up with Delilah. Amen. But Delilah is also a Philistine. And the Philistine gods now realize, we know how to get this guy. If a woman could get the secret of the riddle out of him. Hey, someone say familiar spirits. Say monitoring spirits. They pick up on your destiny. They pick up on your future. But they also pick up on your weaknesses. They've been in your family for generations. They know what you like. They know how you like it. They know your type. They know your time. Amen. They know that if you're a woman, they know that at this week, for 2 days every month, your hormones are, because of your cycle, your hormones are around the place. And they know if you are ever, for those of you who struggle with sexual issues, go and check the cycle of the month if you're a woman. Check, check, check. I guarantee you 6 times out of 10, you will find that it's always in a certain week every month that your brain goes out of control because your body is biologically imbalanced. And Satan knows. Satan, he knows that if he's short and pudgy, it ain't gonna work. So he brings tall, dark, and lovely, TDL. Amen. And so they say, Delilah, weak one, feeble one, small one. I preached a message called Escape from Sodom about a few years ago. And it was in a city called Zoar. The word Zoar means small. This is that small one. Said to God, I'm not going to do the big one. I'm not going to go into the big place. I'm going to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, but I'm not going to go all the way into Zion. Can I go into the small one? And it was in that small Zoar that his wife became a pillar of salt. So something gets in there. And he's just enjoying himself and he's just stirring it up. Amen. And he and Delilah just having a good time. And now his discernment is dead. Somebody comes to you 3 times and asks you, how do I kill you? Literally. And you answer her three times. And each time she tries it. I mean, come on. How dumb do you have to be? But now his discernment is gone. How many of you have been there where you know what you're doing is wrong? But at this point, not that you don't care, but you don't. How many of you have been there before? Where you're caught in the flow. You're fighting upstream now and it's too late. His discernment is gone. His candle has been put out in obscure darkness. But he's still strong. He still has his gift. He still has his power. He still speaks in tongues. The spirit still, but each time in that bed of fornication, the spirit of God would come upon him and he would break loose. But there was a 4th time. Bible says she vexed his soul. The same way the Bible says Lot vexed his soul in Sodom and Gomorrah. There's only so much vexing your soul can take. Hello? There's only so much. Your soul is your mind, your intellect, your will. Amen? Your emotions, your imaginations, and your memory. There's only so much buffeting. There's only so many porn movies you can watch till you become addicted. There's only so many ungodly friends you can hang around till you become like them. Your soul has a threshold. And Samson's threshold was broken that day. And he tells her everything. He exposes the contents of his heart to the enemy. Samson wakes up the next morning, and this is the saddest verse in all the Bible. He says he told himself when he saw the Philistines, like before. So I say like before. He says like before, I will arise and I will shake myself. I will sing my favorite song if I'm a worship leader. I'll play my favorite note if I'm a keyboardist. I'll preach my favorite message. We all have something that we know that when things are not going well, right? There's always that fallback thing, you know. There's always that, you know. And it says, like before, I'll shake myself. You can put the heater on, it's a bit cold. I'll shake myself. And I will. Notice he doesn't say God will. There's no God here. No, I will. I'm the man. I will. But he wakes up. And he's like a normal human being. He wakes up and the grace is gone. Overnight, it's lifted. And the people he was supposed to destroy, captured. He's now a slave. And what's the first sign you're a slave? You know what they go for? You know what the devil always goes for? The ayin. The word ayin means eye in Hebrew. They pluck out his eye. Now he lost his discernment before, now he's lost his eye. Amen. He can't see God any longer. Can't see visions of God any longer. His eye gate has been corrupted. Without vision, people perish. Amen. His vision is destroyed. His prophetic seed is corrupted. And the mighty Samson is grinding millet. Hey, Jesus is Lord. Samson is grinding corn for the people he was called to destroy. His and says they bring him out. This is what happens to many of us, we don't know. And Satan is having fun watching us. You know, where he's, you know how you see guinea pigs running or gerbils running on that circle, you know, and we see fish swimming in an aquarium and it's entertaining to us. Do you know how many times many of us have been Satan's entertainment? Beelzebub, come, look at him. Now, if Satan is laughing, what do you think God's doing? He's crying, bawling, shedding tears of blood on your behalf. And every day you wake up in the morning, take another spear, say, Jesus, just give me your side. I got him. That's exactly what we do. Eventually, Samson becomes bitter. Now, this is his final character flaw. He's vindictive. He's more interested in payback than in destiny. Hello. He's more interested in holding a grudge. He could pray for... The Bible says his hair begins to grow. But now he is blind, so he can't even see. He has lost his connection to what heaven is saying. And right now, the same prayer he prayed for strength to crumble that building, he could have prayed for God to get him out. But his focus was gone. He was more interested in payback. He wanted to get even. The Bible says he said, let me die with my enemies. Never God's purpose for his life. Stand up with me tonight. I'm not going to hoop or shout tonight. There's no time. They say, pray, pray, oh, Samson, yeah, pray. No, I ain't going to do that tonight. I heard myself shouting on YouTube the other day. I was like, slow down, man. You know, I ain't going to shout tonight. You kneel down for the next 60 seconds. And you talk to God yourself. I'm going to keep quiet. You tell him yourself. You cry out yourself. I'm not going to cheerlead for you tonight. Say, God, help. Say, God, help me. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I know some of us are in a rush, but please take 60 seconds and sort your destiny out before you run anywhere. God, help me. Help me. Jesus, help me. Preacher included. Preacher included. Preacher included. Let travail take over your soul. I want you to picture yourself in Samson's position and let the anguish cause you to talk. Just imagine being Samson, dying, blind, forgotten, disgraced. Put yourself in those shoes for a second. And from that position, pray. Say, God, I cry out unto you. Save my soul. Rescue me from myself. Come on, tell him. Rescue, I am my own worst enemy. It's me. The enemy is the man in the mirror. Help me, God. Help me, Jesus. As I walk into this season, I refuse to destroy my own self. If I need to leave Timnath, I'll slow down. If I need to scale back, if I need to stop and bring myself back under authority. If I need to shut my vision down and go back to the drawing board, so be it. So I can be rebirthed at the right time, so be it. Whoever will laugh at me, whoever will make fun of me, whatever people will say. Like Paul, if I need to get out of Jerusalem and go into the desert of Arabia for 13, 14 years before I return. It's not how fast, it's how far. All that matters is where I end up eventually. There's no rush. My mates are starting, I want to start. Nah, it doesn't work like that. I'm so old, it doesn't work by 8. Moses was 80. Every woman I have seen in my portion, every hex, every bewitchment, every allurement or enchantment, whatever, the Bible says wine is dancing, it's red and it dances in a cup, but at the last it bites. Every honey in a corpse. If you can look back over red lines, over covenants, over things that you had between you and God in the past that you have gradually explained away, there's an issue. If you believed something so passionately before, I'm not saying God can give you new revelation, but cross-check your new revelation. Cross-check that it is really God. That it's not a product of circumstance, a
product of convenience. I've been there before. I know. I know what it is to change your doctrine to suit your condition. But we must hold ourselves up to the standard of God's word. Like I said on Sunday, we cannot reduce God's standard to ours. See, Father, help me. Help me. I refuse to be Samson. Like David, when the Malachi comes, I'll say, I'm the man. It was me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and a new right spirit within me. After 2 days, revive me, and the third day, raise me up that I might live in your sight. Rebandora by every dead thing, O God. Destroy, purify, purge. I cry out unto you, O God. Very quickly before we go, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Is anybody here tonight who says, you know what, Pastor? I can't just pray this prayer on my own. I need to publicly recommit myself to God. Something's gone so bad somewhere. I need a public grace. I need a corporate grace. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I want to rededicate myself. I want you to come to the front very quickly. Just come to the altar quickly. I sense in my spirit there's at least one person like that tonight. He says, I want you to touch with me and agree with me to renew this thing, renew my altar. I don't want to die in my sin. I don't want to die in my carnality. Just come to the altar. Just come and kneel down near the cross on the altar. Say, Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, help me. I call out for grace. I call out for grace. I will not die like Samson. No, whatever it is, I'll let it go. I'll cut it loose. Whatever inordinate relationship, whatever inordinate thought, whatever secret sin, and even when it's not Ten Commandments sin, whatever carnal mentality, whatever character flaw, Barakai Masantabai, Libro, anger, malice, pride, unforgiveness, inconsistence, indiscipline. Oh God, help me, Jesus. Go and talk to him. Cry out while you're at the altar. Cry out. Say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Purify, purge, purge, purge. God bless you for your boldness. Now cry out unto him. Father, let the fire of God descend on this altar tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God descend on this altar tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the fire of God descend, descend. Let it descend. Let it descend. Let it descend. Miyatabas, katalabasa. Jimbanando shianda baba baban sianda baban saya le qualita ba le coro dodoshki ada la banda da baba basa ya je katoro dodobo sikanda bala bosi ata la bahaya. Oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'll wait until everybody who needs to come out comes out. Borodobo shkala la banda la baba basha ata la bahaya. May mama cry out to the Lord tonight. Say, Lord, help me. I'm not leaving this floor tonight till it's fixed. I'm not leaving this floor tonight until it's fixed. I'm not leaving this floor tonight till it's fixed. Till it's fixed. Till it's fixed, oh God. Till it's fixed, Jesus. Ribashke baratosh kanaman de ribiakasaya. I'm not leaving till it's fixed, till it's fixed, till it's fixed. Purge me, Savior, Savior, draw me to your bleeding side. Father, I pray for a fire to fall at this altar and burn out every flesh. Every grace needed, O God, in the realm of the Spirit. Laba, Father, purify, sanctify, purge in the name of Jesus. Libasko tore maranaman de riboboshe. No more, no more, no more. Complete, total, utter victory. Father, we speak victory, victory over every work of the flesh. Victory, O God, today and no more. Libatabasete, victory in the name of Jesus. Victory, God. Maraboko shatalabaya. Itandelebo siantala la mamaka siata. Leprokotora momomosia. Every familiar spirit, every spirit of sabotage, O God, we expel in the name of Jesus. O Father, let this rise into a newness of life. Maboshitala manene moko tabasia. Mama, purge us, O God. Father, as a house, we want to ascend the hill of the Lord. We want to stand in your holy place with clean hands and a pure heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All eyes still closed, all heads still bowed. If you're in the front, I want you to say after me. Say, Father, I am your child. I'm going to hold the hands of someone beside you and agree with the person. Say, Father, I am your child. I am your son / daughter. Father, I am your seed. Say it, I am your seed. Say it, I want to hear you, I am your seed. You said that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I am born of you. Overcome the world in me. Purge me of everything that is not of you. Shower me in your blood and make me a new man. As I get off this floor tonight, in the twinkling of an eye, in the casting down of my sight, in the casting down of my thinking, I will be changed. I will be changed. I will be metamorphosed. I will renew my mind. I make a decision. Honor my decision. Help me to grow into this journey of perfection. I draw a line in the sand. I will never return to where I was before today, in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to put your hands together.